Each one of us has a personal story about his or her spiritual beginning. I could have asked you this morning, what is yours? But we don't have the time to hear your story, and yet each one of us has a personal story of our spiritual beginning. Was it because of your parents taking you to church? Or is it because you were forced to go to church? Was it because you wanted to please someone in your life or family? Was it because one day you decided to go to church to find God or to meet some friends or friendly people? Maybe it was a concert or an event that you went to. Many people will admit that it was not a sudden desire to go to church that brought them to church, but it was a personal invitation of a friend, co-worker, or a classmate, or even a total stranger that asked them or asked you to go to church, or a Christian meeting or event. Many say that it actually was because someone reached out to him or her and gave a personal invitation. Actually, the greatest rewards in ministry do not come from extraordinary church events or meetings, but in everyday person-to-person witness that Christians can do regardless of their gifts or position. Let me tell you a little story that is very close to my heart. There was, long time ago, there was a brick factory, and someone was hired, a young man was hired to do some bookkeeping. This young man was a believer. Eventually, this young man saw a young lady there, and he had enough courage to take a New Testament, bring it to her, and share it with her. She read the Bible, and on her own, no crusades, no church meetings, no concerts, nothing. She read the Bible, and she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Her life changed completely. And now she was a born-again believer. So this young man married her. They were my parents. And that was the greatest lesson my mom and my dad could teach me, to reach out and not count the results or not look for the results, but just reach out. That's why the title of our message today is Reach Out. Jesus expects all his followers to reach out. In Matthew 28:18, we read, 18 to 20 actually, we read, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" There are a couple of things that are very important for every believer. The last words Jesus spoke were, "Go and make students, disciples, followers from all nations." That is why we have missionaries. That is why we encourage and support missionaries. We have we're supporting a missionary work in Bangladesh. We have another one. We support another one in the Philippines and another one in Armenia. We have in Canada. We support the evangelical tract distributors to print tracts. The only reason why we do the reason why we do this is because we believe in the in outreach and evangelism. We believe that this this commandment or this the last words of Jesus should be taken seriously and follow his instructions. He didn't say go and make religious people out of all nations. He said make disciples, means followers of Jesus Christ. Not followers of one religion or the other, not followers of a denomination, not followers of one tradition or doctrine, but followers of Jesus. And then he said, and tell them that they cannot pick and choose what they will do or follow. The last words are, and surely, no, before that, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Recent statistics have concluded that Andrew's kind of outreach evangelism is the most effective one. Pollsters indicate that 75 to 90% come to church because a friend or relative or even a stranger invited them. The Bible says that not everyone will have the gift of evangelism, but Jesus' command is that all the believers must be his witnesses. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If God did not intend people to be born again or receive Christ or turn to God, no matter what you call this metamorphosis, this transformation, it is something that has to take place in every human being that turns to God. As if you remember what happened in the desert when snakes came out and were biting others, the people there, and they were dying. God gave a command or instructed Moses and said, erect a snake. Put it on a tall, long pole and put it in the middle of the people, where the people are. And tell them that when they look at this snake, they will not die, but they will survive. Now, people were not asked or were not told why. People did not ask why, and they didn't ask the purposes. They didn't ask who gave the instructions. They knew it came from God. The people did not try to analyze the situation, but they just looked at that serpent. Now, what does that serpent represent? It's our sins were nailed on the cross. And for a moment at least, for a short period of time, Jesus became sin for us. He bore our sins. And so people, when they look at that cross, what they see is their sins crucified, nailed on the cross. It takes faith, yes. Even though evangelism in general is important and a must to the church, personal evangelism is the most important. Every believer telling another person about Christ and inviting them to meet him. Let's look at two or three examples. Andrew reaching his brother, John 1:40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and I quote, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Not only Andrew meets Jesus, but he follows Jesus. There are many who meet Jesus. There are many who go to church. There are many who hear about Jesus. There are many who have a cross at home. There are many who wear a cross. There are many who say, one way Jesus, the sticker, they stick a sticker on their car. And yet they don't follow him. Just knowing about Christ does not make someone a Christian. But following him, and here Andrew not only heard Jesus, but followed him. Andrew not only followed Jesus or follows Jesus, but he is eager now to share this good news with his brother. And I quote, "The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ,' and brought him to Jesus." Andrew understood the urgency and importance of this good news. I sometimes wonder, and I just don't know whether you wonder too, whether we really, really, really believe the good news. Because if we did believe the good news, if we really, really believe that Jesus is the Messiah, is God, if we really, really believe that Jesus died on the cross to save the world, and if we really believe that his sacrificial death on the cross brings eternal life and changes our lives and gives us eternal life, if we did take this seriously, we would be like Andrew, running all over the place and getting in touch with our relatives, our friends, our co-workers, and invite them to the source of this wonderful experience called new life. Andrew not follows Jesus, but is eager to share the good news. Andrew not only finds his brother now and shares the good news with him, but he brings him to Jesus. He didn't only go home and say, "You know what? Brother, I have found the Messiah. I really heard him. He sounds kosher. It seems that he is the real Messiah. And then let's eat something." No, he drags him out. He says, "Let's go. I would like to introduce you to Jesus," and brings him to Jesus. The second example is the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman was a sinner, was not a religious person, but riches many. In verse 7, we read, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, she met Jesus, and Jesus met her spiritual need." That's so interesting. This lady, this woman, did not go to church. She did not go to the temple. She did not go to a crusade. She just went there, minding her own business, getting some water to drink, and yet she finds Jesus. So really, if we reflect Christ daily, then people will find Jesus through us. She is so blessed and excited about the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. She forgets now why she had come to the well. That's what happens when we meet Jesus, when we meet the Messiah, when we meet eternity, when we see eternity, I should say. Then everything else becomes less important. Then everything else becomes not as important as our soul, as our God. And she runs back to the town and tells people, "Come and see." They came out of the town and made their way toward him, toward Jesus. Now, she could have stayed there. She could have enjoyed the company of Jesus. She could have asked him to explain things and give her everything that she could have asked for spiritually. And yet, she was more interested about the good news, or spreading the good news, or reaching out to her neighbors and friends and the people in the town. So she runs all the way back home, and she then proclaims Jesus as being the Messiah. Not only these people came and saw, but they also believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. Here we see five things. She met Jesus. Well, obviously, if someone does not meet Jesus, does not know who Jesus is, if someone only hears about Jesus, only is a story, history, whatever, a gospel that makes no sense, a news that has been repeated over and over, and it's not personal, there's nothing personal. But when someone meets Jesus, and you say, how can you meet Jesus today? Well, Jesus is alive. We believe that Jesus is active. I believe that the Holy Spirit, Jesus is God, and God the Holy Spirit is at work today, convicting, helping, strengthening people. And the Bible says, he who asks to see God, he who searches for God, he will find him. There is no such a thing as wanting to find God or wanting to experience this personal relationship with God and not find it. She met Jesus. Jesus met her needs. Obviously, it would be useless to pray to a picture or worship a statue or a pole or the moon and stars and expect something to happen. And yet people do that. And yet people will offer gifts to statues and pray to pictures or look at the moon and star and look at their horoscope and expect something to happen. Meet Jesus. When this woman met Jesus, her soul, her heart, her entire being was touched, and she saw the difference, and Jesus met her need. She brought others to Jesus. Now, this is what is missing, I believe, in today's church. There are other religious groups. When I went to Armenia, there were the Hare Krishnas reaching out to the Armenians, and I saw, of all people, Armenians dressed like Hare Krishnas, because they believed in their cause. I saw many Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses really running all over the place to make converts because they believed in their doctrine or cult. These are cults. We claim to have the truth, and yet we live as we don't have the truth. Now, if we have the truth, we should really care what's happening at the office, at school, in our family. Sad, very sad to say, that the children of Christian families, brothers and sisters and wives and husbands, are struggling today because they really have not yet focused on Jesus and have not yet experienced this conversion, this transformation. It has not become reality in their lives. Finally, the fourth point is many believe. Many people believe. In Jerusalem, at a pool, this is a third example, in Jerusalem at a pool called Bethesda, Jesus met a very sick man. And Jesus reached out to him. And I quote John 5:1-8. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been sick for a long time, 30 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the sick man said, "I have no one to help me." John 5:3-7. He said, "I have no one to help me." This could be happening now in your office. This could be at the workplace, at school, in our neighborhood, in your family. Someone, I have found more young people today in our business, my wife and I, when we are at the office. There are more young people searching to find something. They are looking to their religious background and they find nothing. They are looking to the government and find nothing. They are looking to sex, drugs, and all kinds of things, and they go through the experiences and find nothing. And yet they are asking like this man and saying, there is no one to help me. Well, you are, I am, and we can reach out. Many today are spiritually confused or troubled and need someone to help them. But there is no one to help them. It seems that Christians are too busy and too comfortable in their comfort zone. Jesus can meet their needs if someone leads them to Him. Bring someone to Jesus. People today have friends, acquaintances at work, at school, at play, but no friends who care about their spiritual and emotional condition and their future in eternity. They need a friend, someone who will care. And I'm reminded of a little poem, like a poem, that I read some years ago and I shared it with you. There is this letter that says, "Dear friend, while I was on earth, I walked with you, I played with you, we had good times, we ate together, and we really had a good time as friends. I thought you are my friend, but now that I am in hell, no. And realize that you are not my friend. For you never told me to come with you to church. For you never told me there is God that cares. For you never told me about salvation. For you never told me about heaven and hell. And now in hell, I know you are not my friend. Will you be the friend that introduces someone to Christ?" Andrew does not seem to have become a prominent disciple. He was not one of those in the inner circle of Peter, James, and John. He was not at the Transfiguration site, and he was not in the Garden of Gethsemane. He did not lead a group, nor did he write any recorded epistles. He was not an evangelist or a teacher. But he is well known and remembered as one who brought others to Jesus. Do not underestimate the results of your efforts to bring someone to Jesus. You may be the one who God will use to touch someone's life. You might be the spark that lights up the soul of someone in his or her spiritual darkness. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being so loving and compassionate Creator. You are our Heavenly Father, and you love each one of us. Lord Jesus, you died on the cross to set us free, to pay the price, to help us find the narrow door. And Lord Jesus, you sent the Holy Spirit that guides us, protects us, and points us to the narrow door. Help each one of us to look ahead, focus on you, and remember that we are only passing through this life, and one day we'll meet you. Strengthen each one of us, help us spiritually, and help us to reach out to loved ones and others. In your blessed name I pray, amen.